power. Prayer. Mission. Visits to the sick and the homebound. Phone calls. Meetings. Gatherings. Sunday school, fellowship. A lot happens in preparation for this 1 hour. But this 1 hour has the power to transform hearts, minds, souls, spirits for Jesus Christ. I am grateful week after week for this 1 hour. If you have your Bibles with you, turn with me to Mark 13, 1-8. As Jesus left the temple, one of his disciples said to him, "Teacher, look, what awesome stones and buildings." Jesus responded, "Do you see these enormous buildings? Not even one stone will be left upon another. All will be demolished." Jesus was sitting on the Mount of Olives across from the temple. Peter, James, John, and Andrew asked him privately, "Tell us when these things will happen. What signs will show that all these things are about to come to an end?" "Keep watch," Jesus said. "Watch out that no one deceives you. Many people will come in my name saying, 'I'm the one.' They will deceive many people. When you hear of wars and reports of wars, don't be alarmed. These things must happen, but this isn't the end yet. Nations and kingdoms will fight against each other, and there will be earthquakes and famines in all sorts of places. These things are just the beginnings of the sufferings associated with the end." These things are just the beginning. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we are just so grateful to gather in your name, in one heart, with one mind and one baptism, all through you. Open our hearts to receive your message to each of us today. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your scriptures. Thank you for your disciples. Thank you for your Holy Spirit. Thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ. May we experience you in this moment, and may our hearts receive what you have to say. In Christ's name we do pray, and all of God's children said, amen. How many of you have heard the term "on a need-to-know basis"? Show of hands. All right, just about everybody. It's a term we may not outwardly say to a child, but we let children subtly know they don't need to know everything. Amen? Yeah. Or you could be like in my household when I just quite frankly say that's not important and you don't need to know. But as adults, we don't tell children everything because we do not want them to worry, to be burdened, to become sad, afraid, or isolated. When offered information at times, I often hold up my hand and say, "I do not need to know, don't tell me." And then I say, "Okay, tell me." "No, I don't want to know." Have you ever done that? Yes. So we have this internal battle going on where we want to know, but we really don't want to know. Today's text reminds me of this need-to-know motif. It comes at the end of our liturgical Christian year. It comes at a time when we begin to prepare our hearts and our minds for the Christ child. Because remember, Christmas is coming. So as a disclaimer, this text only contains a small part of what Jesus says to the disciples in Mark 13. It's an invitation for us to consider taking a different perspective, a long view of life, and not ignoring the moment, but looking beyond the moment. Not putting our hope in what we see, but to put our faith and our trust in a God who forgives our sins and assures us that our brokenness and imperfections do not define who we are. We live in a world of messiness, and sometimes this on a need-to-know basis frees us up to witness and serve in Jesus' name as we trust the Lord's faithfulness. You know, this need-to-know phrase is most likely a military term where confidential, top-secret information is only given to those who need to know. It plays out in our everyday lives, again, with children, on our jobs, amongst relationships, and throughout the scriptures, but especially today with the disciples. So imagine with me, Jesus has left the temple. He is with his disciples, and one disciple says to Jesus, "Teacher, look, what awesome stones and buildings." I imagine in that very moment, the disciples are looking a lot like tourists, pointing up and looking in awe, looking all around in amazement. They're in awe of the stones, of the massiveness of the buildings. I imagine the disciples were in awe the same way we are in awe when we visit a major city for the very first time. Have you ever traveled with anyone and said, "Let's try not to look like tourists"? I do all the time. Every time, especially with my dad, who's in his 70s, and my daughter, who is a teenager, and they both wear fanny packs. That doesn't make a bit of sense. Two different generations, several generations apart, and they both wear fanny packs. So we have this image of Jesus not wearing a fanny pack, of course, and the disciples looking around in this manner saying, "This is pretty cool. These buildings are awesome." But they ask Jesus this question, and he does not respond in the same manner. He doesn't say the buildings are awe-inspiring, and he says instead, "Yes, these buildings are enormous, but not even one stone will be left. It will be demolished." In other words, what you see in this moment, it will not last. What you see in this moment, where you are in this moment, will not last. I love this passage because the humanity of God's people, the questions and the curiosity that we see in the disciples, deeply collide with the wisdom of Jesus Christ. This dialogue, this exchange, serves as an introduction to what is called the little apocalypse. It's this very long discourse in Mark 13, in Mark's gospel, that often speaks to those of us who expect too much, those of us who expect too little, and those of us who have forgotten to expect anything at all. Chapter 13 deals with signs of the end of the age, the end of times. And we look at these verses of this prophecy at the end of our Christian calendar. So we are reminded, because this we need to know, of the significance of the birth of Jesus Christ. As we enter into this season of Advent, the season of waiting, the season of being in between time, the season of the already but not yet, we are reminded of who we are in Christ and not to live in fear. The disciples, with their humanity on display, after hearing Jesus' poignant response, ask two very simple yet complex questions. And we continue to ask the same questions thousands of years later. When will this happen, and what are the signs? When will this happen, the destruction that Jesus is speaking of? And what are the signs? The famine, the earthquakes, the wars and rumors of wars. Signs that are not pointing to the end, but birth pangs. Signs preceding and confirming what we believe, that Jesus Christ will come again. You know, as a pastor, I'm often asked a ton of questions. One main question I am asked is, do you believe that we are in the end times? Do you believe that we are in the end times? And I always say, yes. Because I believe through the scriptures that Christ is coming again. See, the end times is not about fear. It's about preparation for Christ to return. It's about preparation in hope and love. It's about preparation with grace toward others and the wisdom through the strength of the Holy Spirit to share Christ with others. It is about preparation. Not that Jesus is coming this afternoon at 1:15 and you need to be ready. But it's about knowing he is going to come again. Preparation in prayer and song, worship, feeding and clothing those in need, visiting the imprisoned, the sick, the widowed, the orphaned. The end times is about paying attention in faith and not in fear. When Jesus says, when you hear wars and reports of wars, don't be alarmed. See, his intent was not to put fear into the disciples. His intent in this passage is to say, to give this invitation to pay attention, to stay awake, to watch so that you are not deceived, to not follow false prophets, and not to be afraid or scared into the faith, but instead take the long view, the love view, the grace view beyond what you think you know, trusting in God. Looking beyond what we see in this moment, whether in our current personal situation, community situation, or world situation. Quite frankly, saints, as we follow Jesus Christ, as we prepare to share the gospel, as we give in and serve, as we go about our mission to bring Christ to people and people to Christ, we only need to know what we need to know, and that Jesus Christ is our Savior. We are all familiar with U.S. currency. We know the dollar bill, the $5, the $20 bill. Some of you have more than that lining your pockets. But I don't know if you know this, but when authorized engravers work on a new set of printing plates to produce government currency, each engraver only receives a section of the finished design. We've seen it play out in action movies where someone says, "I don't know the combination, but I do know where the safe is." We've seen that play out where everyone has to grab everyone who's involved. But in this case, no single engraver ever sees the entire printing plate. This prevents the engraver from being coerced into reproducing the money for counterfeiters. Again, we only need to know what we need to know. And when it comes to our faith, this passage helps us to see how important it is to not give up as we trust in God. Jesus, after the long discourse of what is to come, he tells the disciples to keep watch and to pay attention. He tells us in Mark 13, "I have shared these things with you, so you will not be surprised, but are filled with hope because the Holy Spirit is in you, and I am on the way." Oh, how often we pray for Jesus to show up when we don't receive the medical report we want, or a spouse or a loved one dies. How often we pray for Jesus to show up when the turmoil is great and peace does not seem to be within reach. How often we pray for Jesus to show up when we greatly desire to grow in the knowledge in love of Christ. So often we lean into temptation to second guess God's timetable because we need to be in the know. We need to be in control. But these 8 verses give us the gift of freedom, the gift of grace, the gift of love, and the gift not to be afraid. I don't know why verse 32 is not included in the lectionary passage from today. But Jesus tells his disciples in verse 32, after a very long discourse, I invite you to read it throughout the week. He says, "But nobody knows when that day or hour will come. Not the angels in heaven and not the Son. Only the Father knows." Wow. What a foundation to hold on to so that we are not afraid. Jesus shares these things with his disciples and reminds us of the foundation in our faith, that we need to be cautious because there are a lot of false prophets out there. And what you need to know and is that no one knows what you know right now. That is a statement that is hard to digest in a time of information overload. But it is also a statement that is grace-filled and loving. Trust in God, because God is the one who leads the way. We need to know that God does not live in buildings built by human hands, but dwells instead in our hearts. The disciples shared how the temple was beautiful, and today all that remains is a wall. Yet the church of Jesus Christ is alive and growing. We may worship in buildings, but God does not live here. God lives in us. We need to know that our faith is a straight line heading toward eternal life in a Christ way, in a point in which we know so very little, leading us into eternal life. It is not circular, but linear. We look beyond the moment, knowing what is to come as we trust in God. We need to know there's no cause for alarm. We show up week after week in hope, receiving what God has for us, praising God, but also recognizing that sometimes when everything is falling apart, coming down, breaking away, things are really for the first time coming together. We all build temples, many of them crashing down. Marriages, relationships, fellowships, careers, friendships. But Jesus reminds us in this moment that even in the midst of trouble, God is standing there preparing to help us to rebuild. We take the long view, saints, and we don't get caught up in the moment. We grab every amount of grace and love. We hitch ourselves to every opportunity to serve in mission. But we cannot lose sight of the greater message, the kingdom of God is right here and right now. We take the long view, saints. Sometimes we are so busy looking for a cause, we miss the opportunity to see Christ at work, building relationships that are broken, fostering a better way to be in community, tearing down the barriers of hate and division, and infusing lives with justice, healing, love, and peace. We're being called in this moment to not only proclaim the gospel, but to proclaim the fullness of hospitality in our very lives, so people can see Christ in us and Christ in our church. What we need to know is that God does not instill a spirit of fear, but a spirit of trust and love that goes beyond 1 hour per week. So today, let us experience the richness of God's grace and God's love, and not the fear that awaits us day after day, week after week. While we wait for Christ, we ask that the Lord gives us Jesus while we wait, so we recognize him when he comes. The peace that he brings, the love that he brings, and the grace that has gone before us is with us and continues long after we are gone. While we wait, God is love. And you, beautiful people, are loved by God. Amen.